blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III is my name. I'm the host of the program. Joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand. Excuse me. Mr. Bobby Rosa and the screening room producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated, is the real J Mac, ladies and gentlemen. That is one Jeff McIntosh. And we have the elegant and the graceful Kennedy Green as well in the screening room. And we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family and welcoming his primacy to guide, to govern, and to guard your engagement in your families. This is this encouragement is pertinent today, as you'll see as we go through today's program. As always, we're going to start in God's holy word, but we're going to delve into a topic that many professionals, mental health professionals, are describing as a silent epidemic, and it is the phenomenon that is described as voluntary familial estrangement or estrangement. Depending on who you're talking to, they may use more or less descriptors before they get to the term estrangement. But as we go through, you'll see this is something that is cutting directly against what God has ordained for families to be. So when I say God's word should guide and govern and guard our engagement, that includes the early formative years. If you are in a life stage, as I am, with young children in my home, my wife and I, all the way through to latter stages, when the scripture says, and the Lord commands us to honor your father and mother, that is, notice, it's not something that says honor your father and mother while you're an adolescent or while you're a teenager, but this is a command that is a continuing command. And contrary to the world, now let me say something before I continue on that. It doesn't expressly state how you are to do so, but the honoring is a heart disposition. It's a condition of the heart that will ultimately impact conduct and engagement. And there is a concerted effort that, frankly, I believe it is demonic in its genesis. That is tearing at families and tearing relationships apart. And we're going to get into it a bit during today's program. So if you are listening to this program, certainly this is one you're going to want to share. But I don't encourage you to listen up, because we want to examine the facts, a bit of the data. But most importantly, what does God's word say and how should we engage thereafter? So as you are making your transition to your full-time jobs, let's be intentional about it. It's a deception to think that nothing is going on and, it's not that big of a deal. And we just drift forward and allow ourselves to inhale and exhale. The next thing you know, 10, 20 years have passed by and we don't recognize what may or may not have transpired. This is also a day, and we may get into this a bit more. I'm sure most of you know by now that Senator Lindsey Graham passed away over the weekend, and the governor of South Carolina has now named his sister, which Lindsey Graham, as a young man in his early 20s, adopted as a result of their parents having passed away earlier in their lives. So that is it's never an easy thing when you have that kind of when there's loss that takes place, and how that impacts others. And you know, I'm not planning to get into this now, but it's grieving and sad to me to see just how much our capacity for humanity seems to have been degraded in our society, to where people's sickness permeates even through times of mourning, you know. And it's just, you know, pardon me, maybe I'm old school. I mean, I told y'all, I've always been told I had have an old soul, but I'm from the block where my parents taught me, you know, even if we don't know a person, you see a funeral procession going on, and you pull over on the side of the road and you honor the fact that this is a fellow bearer of God's image who has made the inescapable transition, It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. That's a sobering thing in my estimation. Because there's no do-overs, no backsies. That's it. To the word of God we go. Proverbs chapter 1 is where we want to begin the program. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 16 is where I want to begin. Proverbs chapter 1. Just jump right into it for the sake of time. The book of Proverbs is wisdom literature, and chapter 1, verse 8 reads like this. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. The verses that we just read from chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs envision the counsel provided to a son by a father and a mother. My son, hear, give heed, listen, receive, take seriously, ingest, focus your heart and mind to your father's instruction. My son, do not forsake your mother's teaching. It presents a picture of a father and mother jointly engaged in cultivating the heart and mind of a young man, of a son, who will be reared in an environment of wisdom. One of the major features of this environment of wisdom and what is communicated is in these verses, 12 all the way to verse 16. What it said is, in order for the son to have the benefit of being cultivated in an environment of wisdom, one of the first characteristics that the son will develop is a refusal to follow the crowd, is a refusal to be men pleasers. And when you look at those two qualities, guys, they are intrinsic to being disciples of Jesus Christ. There is no way we can be disciples of our Lord and while at the exact same time we are crowd followers. I've said time and time again on the program, the call to be a Christ follower, a call to be a disciple, is a call to live the narrow road. We don't visit the narrow road. That's where we live. That's where we live. We recognize the wisdom of our Lord's instruction when it says, broad is the road to damnation. Narrow is the way for the redeemed, for the peculiar. You cannot be a narrow road warrior and be a man pleaser and be a man pleaser. Cannot do it. Cannot do it. Contrary to popular practice in our society, I've said this as well on the show, By God's divine providence and sovereign grace, he's made me my children's father. I will be my children's father for the rest of my life, Lord willing, and the rest of their lives. Our relationship dynamics will change, no doubt about it. But when my children hit, there's nothing, you know, magical about my children turning the age of 18. That now all of a sudden my care and concern for them has adjusted. No, no, that hasn't changed at all. Though they may be of the legal age of majority in our country, I'm still my children's father. And my children will always be my children, even as they grow and mature. And even when, Lord willing, and this is something my wife and I are looking forward to when we hit the grandparent stage. I ain't been there, but I heard the show is good. Heard about it. But our society works overtime, just to cut right to the chase, to eviscerate familial bonds, generally speaking. I've explained before how one of the major theses from Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto, he and Frederick Engels, was to create this notion of children of the state. The way to do that is that you sever the parent-child relationship at the earliest stages possible. Then we're going to dig into it a little bit, and I'm not trying to shade anybody or condemn anybody. I know there are variables that affect everybody's lives and families differently. I alluded to this once. I'm not going to go into any detail here. I'm in a life stage in addition to having young children that I'm caring for my parents as well, my parents. And not to be surprised, the Word of God has something specific to say about that. But there's a phenomenon that's ascended to where largely in our society we have, you know, adult children who are kind of, you know, stick their parents in a home somewhere and really live as if they don't remember them or haven't, not aware of them or don't have any concern for them. And I, like I said, I understand their life circumstances, there's realities, there are all kind of variables that contribute to that. But I would simply add this encouragement. Have we considered what the Word of God says our responsibilities may be? And there are continual efforts. And I've already mentioned it. I'm going to dig into it when we start this next segment. But there's a phenomenon now of familial estrangement to where you have adult children who are severing relationship and contact with their parents. I said it's a silent epidemic because there are lots of factors that contribute, but there's lots of shame and pain related to it. And you have people that don't know what to do. Oftentimes, the instances occur with no warning. You know, all of a sudden, I was talking to my daughter the other day, and now there's no contact. And then to add insult to injury, if you will, there is kind of an online phenomenon to where the quote-unquote going no contact is affirmed as an expression of personal growth. Yes, yes, if you have the wherewithal, if you implement a no contact with your toxic parents, then that is a sign that you are growing, you see, because you are committed to protecting your peace and your mental health. And I'm just like, Once again, I understand that some circumstances where there's history of maybe physical abuse or, you know, chemical dependencies and things of that nature. You know, I grew up, I know what it's like to see, you know, drug addicts walking up and down the street at high rates of speed at the time when people should be asleep, you know. So I know there's some reality there, but what you're going to find is that this, what I'm going to share with you, that as this is a relatively new phenomenon, the studies show that there was a pretty significant spike in this area starting at about 2016, 2015, 2016. I wonder what happened in 2015, 2016. Anybody want to fancy a guess? We're going to get into it. But what you see already, I hope you see, is that this notion of voluntary family estrangement looks a whole lot different than hear my son your father's instruction and forsake not your mother's teaching. Let's get into it.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, according to Ephesians 6:17. Every disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ needs to be a diligent student of the Word of God. We would be wise to continually learn more about the spiritual weapons found in the Word of God. We must continually learn more about how to do battle with every spiritual weapon, because spiritual conflict is not something we deal with from only time to time. We encounter spiritual warfare every day and everywhere we go. When we put these spiritual weapons to work, we're building up the kingdom of God. Also, as we use these weapons, we're doing battle against the kingdom of darkness. Some people may think, I don't like the idea of having to deal with spiritual warfare. Well, like it or not, we face it every day of our lives. Let's be faithful to be kingdom warriors who know how to take some of the weapons we have in the Word of God and use them to walk in victory daily.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I've already alluded to what I'm going to be talking about. I guess I should mention we're looking forward to this upcoming week. We'll be doing several programs from the ARC, where we'll be participating in the Culture Proof 2026 conference. Looking forward to that. We'll be there later this week. It's going to be an amazing time there. Hope you guys tune in. We have several programs lined up, and look, I'm not going to give it away. I just think you probably want to tune in. But I've already kind of set up the conversation I want to have today, because this is something that I've been reading on. I've had conversations with people anecdotally, and I found that this was not happening in a vacuum, but it's something that is happening all around the country. Yet, there are not as many public conversations about it. And my hope is that as a result of bringing this issue into the light, and we are able to examine it in light of the truth of God's word, that it will provide some comfort and some consolation for those who are struggling in these areas. Because as the phenomenon is occurring, and as has been described, voluntary familial estrangement. Frankly, it's given cause for the enemy to wreak havoc in families, man. Families are being torn apart by this, and the data, it's something that has not been chronicled as ubiquitously as I believe it will be as the years continue. But in the bit of data that's available currently, most of it points to, now this is, I'm saying most, not all, most of it points to a precipitous uptick in this self-described voluntary estrangement, well, not self-described, this described voluntary estrangement at about 2016. And you'll recall in 2016, that was when President Trump, much to the shock of those in New York, that he sent "She Who Shall Never Be President" packing. You know, many have said, including, let me be clear, he's the most qualified candidate to run for the presidency. But the American people said, not so fast, my friend. Well, that tends to be the date where there's been a precipitous uptick in familial estrangement. And like I said, there are circumstances where there's abuse, physical abuse, sometimes sexual abuse. You have all kinds of variables that have impacted it. But what's happening 2016 going forward is something that's relatively new in our national history, to where people are citing, you know, political disagreements and religious disagreements as a basis for this, and increasing numbers. So let me give you a little bit of the data across the spectrum. There's data in this publication called Psychology Today. There's data from London, Europe. It's happening pretty much in the West. That shows about 27% of adults, younger adults, have completely severed contact with relationship and severed contact from their parents. In some instances, this contact is not perpetual. In many of them, they are perpetual. Fathers are more likely than mothers to suffer this estrangement. And when there are circumstances when mothers are estranged from their children, often there is a reestablishment of relationship. One of the professionals who have done a bit of study in this area is Dr. Joshua Coleman. And he's a psychologist and he's written a book addressing this phenomenon in a book titled When Parents Hurt. And he's also written a book titled Rules of Engagement. I want to give you a sense of what I'm talking about when I describe voluntary familial estrangement. Here, this brief clip from Dr. Joshua Coleman. It's clip number 7. Clip 7, go.
Well, from my perspective, I think it's a kind of silent epidemic. You know, there was a study recently done that showed that 1 out of 4 fathers is estranged from an adult child. They're 22% even more likely to be estranged from a daughter. That same study found 6% of mothers are estranged from a child, but other studies have put it closer to 10 to 15%, which is where I would put it. So a lot of parents are being estranged today, and they're also being estranged for reasons that weren't really in existence in the past. So they certainly weren't common, political differences, particularly in the United States, the glue that kept families together through millennia, honor thy mother and thy father, respect thy elders, families forever, that's been largely replaced by a much more identitarian perspective. If a relationship doesn't feel good to me, then not only can I cut that person off, I should cut that person off. Protection of mental health has become a big priority. So there's a lot of adult children who are cutting off parents, certainly for reasons of abuse and neglect, but also for reasons that are much more psychological, much more subtle, much more political. And that really is causing a lot of disruption in the families.
Did you hear what he said? You know, the things that used to hold our families together, things like, let's see, still going. Things like honor your father and mother, you know, respect your elders. If you know, you guys are listening to the show, honor your father and mother, that's not merely a cultural creed. That's straight out of the Bible. I've been talking about the prevalence of biblical illiteracy in our society, and you see through this that biblical illiteracy has real relational consequences. That you have an old notion, honor your father and mother, but that's not a notion that is today. The overwhelming majority of instances of familial estrangement are the result of the adult child severing relationship and contact with the parent. It doesn't happen in the reverse by and large. And again, I'm sure you kind of have an idea already what I'm talking about. For those who may not have seen things like that, here's a short clip because what's happening with this silent epidemic, I'm saying it's silent because people are not expressing publicly the pain that they're enduring from this, especially the parents who are suffering pain from this, you know, and it's caused many parents to be unwilling to speak the truth because they're afraid of speaking the truth to their own adult children because they're afraid of the consequences relationally with their adult children in some instances. But because of the attachment, and the data also shows that family estrangement, it's not unusual for it to begin as a result of the adult child seeking psychotherapy. Because you have some instances where counselors are encouraging the adult children to sever the relationship with their parents. This is wild. And in many instances, you have online support groups that are developing that have scores of members, that there's support groups for adult children who have cut off relationship and contact from their parents. Mm-hmm. And it's being lauded as a almost like a badge of honor, that it's an expression of personal growth if you have the courage to cut off these toxic family members. Here's an example of what I'm talking about in terms of some of the things that are being stated. Listen to and watch clip number 5. Clip 5. Go.
I want to just jump on here really quickly for anyone who's dealing with toxic parents, narcissistic parents, is an estranged adult child. And I want to talk about how difficult it is to make that decision to go no contact and to stay no contact. For many of us who have had those very toxic, very narcissistic parents in our lives, you typically go through a very long period of time of deciding when and where is it time to go no contact. To be clear, the first time I went no contact with my mom, this was maybe 15 years ago. So it was before it was a fad. So this whole topic of conversation that children are just doing this to their parents because it's a fad is very obnoxious to me. Usually these decisions are made because there has been attempt after attempt after attempt to please, please, please parents be just healthy people in my life. And then their constant refusal to do so. Even when you make that decision, it's not a static decision. It doesn't stay that way forever. Sometimes you might decide to go low contact. Sometimes you might decide to reestablish contact.
These types of conversations didn't used to happen in our country. one of the benchmarks of developing into healthy adults was being able to resolve disagreements in a healthy manner. Some of you remember when I first got a glimpse of this, it was, I guess I would say prior to the 2024 election, when I was getting notices from people saying, yes, I'm severing relationship with my family because they vote differently from me. And I said on this show, I said, what? When did that become a thing to do? I mean, maybe I'm narrow-minded, but I know all kinds of families that you have people that voted differently, but that didn't change whether or not they were still family. It was absurd to me. I'll show you another one. Here's a man saying he cut off his family, and I don't know his background. He didn't go into some of the factual details as to what led to his decision, but he was wearing it as a badge of honor that he refused to even go to his dead father's funeral, like it's a matter of protest. Like, what are we doing here? Like, okay, your protest, you're going to protest and let me just let you hear the clip. Clip number 6. Clip 6. Go.
All right, I'm going to trauma dump here a little bit, so buckle up. I didn't talk to my father the last 10 years of his life, and when he died, I didn't go to his funeral. And I had many family members reach out to me privately and talk about how disappointing it was, about how much I am the one that was harming the family by not showing up, by me not showing up to a service to listen to a bunch of people talking about how great this person was when we well all knew he wasn't.
That's an example of what I'm talking about. I mean, he's didn't talk to his father for the last 10 years of his life and then didn't go to his funeral. Like, these are things that are happening, guys. And I'm going to get to it. And I want to tell you now, we're going to open the phone lines in this segment. And I'm not asking anybody to air the details, whatever's going on in their lives. But I really want to get an idea from our audience here how prevalent it may be that our folks have been touched by this. So what I want to do is invite you to call. And the number is 888-589. We'll start this next segment, but I'll give the number now. 888-589-8840. And I want to invite you to share. Is this something that you've experienced either directly or someone within close proximity to you that there's been an estrangement of relationship to where there's a cessation of contact and relationship with parents because of political disagreements, because of cultural issues? There was one thing that developed and, when you have, just to be real, the White House lying and saying that Schmovid is the pandemic of the unvaccinated when the data says the exact opposite. And you have families who literally have separated over that, dating all the way back to 2020, 2019. And because of different opinions concerning Schmovid and the injections to vaccine, to not vaccine, and all of these things, to where they've eliminated and terminated relationship with one another. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, and I want to know from our audience if this is something that you're confronting or have been confronted with, is because with everything, the Word of God tells us, Romans 12, that we are not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we are to examine the things that transpires, that transpire under the white hot scrutiny of God's holy word. You know, one of the things that immediately came to my mind as I was studying this, you know, as James 1:7 talks about pure religion, you know, what is pure religion, pure and undefiled religion, to care for widows and orphans. And I've mentioned this on the show before. Sometimes people take that scripture and run with it, but you don't realize that the Lord has provided us additional clarity and qualification even on that notion. And to see what I'm talking about there, 1 Timothy 5 gives us wisdom, because the ecclesiastical responsibility for the church to care for widows and orphans is not a general duty for all widows. The Lord gives us additional clarity through the Apostle Paul to explain what are and who are widows indeed, or who are those who are truly widows. And I'll just start it now. Now I'll just read the text, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. I'll read it, and we got a break coming up, and then we'll get into it a little bit more, and then we'll open the phone lines. But the Word of God says this: honor widows who are truly widows, or widows indeed. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You'll see right away from the text that the scripture presumes and anticipates the first line of care for a mom as she ages, especially in a condition where her husband may have passed away, is her own children and grandchildren. There's an assumption and an expectation of preserved and maintained relationship generationally.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We have not been made the greatest nation in the history of mankind by denigrating God. We have become the greatest nation on earth because we are a nation that acknowledged Almighty God to be the source of our values, our rights, our liberties, and that therefore we are accountable to Him.
The Awakening on the podcast page at AFR.net. AFA Stream is a resource for life-changing instruction and information, a source of wholesome entertainment and relaxation, plus access to some of your favorite AFA shows. You can watch a lot of content for free, or you can become a Great Commission partner. Then you'll not only open the door to everything AFA Stream has to offer, you'll get benefits like a subscription to The Stand and some really nice exclusives. Why not get started today? It's easy. Visit stream.afa.net.
America 250. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Our nation is now 250 years old. Founded largely on Christian principles, America developed and course-corrected into one of the greatest empires in history. But the Christian worldview that pervaded our land has now been replaced by a man-centered ethic where, quote, every man does what is right in his own eyes, unquote. Psalm 2 gives the solution going forward. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Hear our most recent program at thechristianworldview.org, and then join us this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I read this text because I, in the body of Christ, this text should be as readily accessible to us as the James 1:27 reference to pure religion and undefiled is caring for widows and orphans. We should immediately be able to connect that to the reality that the biblical responsibility for the church is to care for widows and orphans who do not have children and grandchildren as immediately available to them. Now, I know that is contrary to a lot of our practice and understanding, and I believe it's because of the prevalence of biblical illiteracy. But a part of our discipleship should include the cultivation of younger disciples as we're growing through the various stages of maturing in Christ, that there is a biblical expectation and anticipation of us to care for our parents as they're aging. You know, some of you, as you're listening to me, you'll recall that the whole notion of aging parents remaining in their homes until, you know, the Lord calls them home was something that's far more common about a generation ago. But because our families have been attacked so consistently, and some attacks are so subtle that we don't even recognize them as attacks. And this is one of them, I would argue, this estrangement thing that's happening. But the scripture has an anticipation, as I read just a few moments ago. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them, the children and grandchildren, first learn to show godliness, not merely be godly, but to show godliness to their own household. What that presumes is a preservation and a maintenance of relationship generationally. But as you can see, if the phenomenon of voluntary estrangement continues, well, this will completely continue. This concept from the scripture will deteriorate into non-existence. And this is an example also of what you've heard me say, that if you examine the expansion of the Leviathan state, it's correspondent with retrenchments in the family, where we've backed away in family life. It's resulted in an ever-expanding behemoth in government. Social safety net, anyone? God's design for the social safety net was supposed to come through the family, not through the government. You see what I'm saying? So the Lord's heart is articulated as the book of Malachi is closing, that the hearts of the fathers will be turned to the children. The hearts of the children are turned to the fathers. But our society and the spirit of the age is working in every way to eviscerate that. And much of it is cultivated, start at the earliest age as possible. Sever the parent-child relationship. Usher the children into being comfortable with being children of the state. Have little babies being made comfortable being away from mom and dad as early as possible. We train our children to be comfortable, to be away from family for the majority of their waking hours. Is any surprise then when a generation has been discipled into that framework that it continues on into the latter life stages? Do y'all see what I'm saying? Or am I making something up? And many of you, as you're listening to me, you may very well fall into that group of people who, man, yeah, this is happening, but you don't know what to do about it. You feel the pain. And the shame, sometimes if you're the parent, you're thinking, what did I do wrong? How did I go wrong to cause this kind of thing to happen? And you suffer in silence. And sometimes the adult child who is unfortunately succumbed to much of the Maslow self-actualization talk will seek to establish quote unquote family everywhere else and act as if, well, this is just as good, when deep, deep down, you know, deep, deep down that this is not right. Again, I'm not talking about the variable circumstances where there are genuine instances, of abuse and things of that nature. But I'm talking in a more general sense where people are bringing a Ginsu knife to their families over cultural disagreements, political disagreements, stuff that's in the news we have two different opinions on. And so instead of engaging in debate, even if the conclusion is, well, you have that perspective, I have a different perspective, but we love one another. So we're going to open the phone lines. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. And I want to invite you to, and I want to see, really, is this something that you're experiencing in this, people in this audience, whether or not you're experiencing it or somebody close to you is experiencing it. And if you're willing to share, I'm not trying to get in your business to get you to expose your business at all. But if you're willing to share, what was the thing that was the genesis of the estrangement phenomenon that you're experiencing or those close to you experiencing? I want to welcome you to share that with us. To the phone lines we go. We'll start in Mississippi, where Joseph is on the line. Joseph, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Abe, thanks for taking my call. And I just want to say thanks for AFR for doing what you guys are doing and proclaiming. I just want to do a short summary of what's been going on in my situation. So mom and dad are divorced, both alcohol problems and drug problems. And I've recently started a family with a 2-year-old little girl. Mm-hmm. And it's just hard to communicate with someone that's going through like that, because for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so just the communication right there is hard. Of course, I never, and I still love my parents. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they give me life.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's hard to draw that line for the new family that I've started.
Understood. Joseph, thank you so much for your call and your comments. I understand exactly where you're coming from. You know, and in your situation, there are chemical dependency issues that impact the way you would interact with your family. But I don't hear from you saying what some of these, chest pounding strangers are saying. You're saying it with a bit of lament, You're saying it with a bit of grief. You're not saying it like with a chest pounding, marching band, drum major, high stepping across the 50-yard line. You're saying it with a lament and a concern and a grief. And that's a very real phenomenon. You're endeavoring to raise your family and to cultivate Christ following in your home, and the features of the alcoholism are things that present challenges there, man. I understand that. And these are the types of things that we should lift up to the Lord in prayer. And that would be a bit different than these people who are removing themselves from or severing relationship with their parents because of political disagreements. That would be a bit different. But thank you for your call and your comment. We'll stay in Mississippi and go next to Joy, who is on the line. Joy, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just love your program and AFR for all that they do for us. It's rocking awesome. To get to it quick, I have a cousin who raised a boy and a girl, a boy being the older, when the kids were in about, and she homeschooled them, by the way.
Mm.
When the kids got to graduating high school, before that, her husband decided that he really was a homosexual. Ooh. And so he divorced her and went off with his lover, but then insisted on, let's still be a family. And so she is really, I don't know how she does it, make sure that they all have family meals together and be a nice big, and she is remarried, and we're just one big happy family. That being said, about 2016, both of those kids said, no, Mom, we're not having anything to do with you anymore.
Mm.
And it was over political stuff. Mm. Although they had been, family meals and everything. To the extent, I talked to her recently, and her son has 2 children. He's married. The daughter isn't married yet. And the Christmas present she sent to the children, he's said, don't bother sending anything. We just throw them away.
Mm.
So she has no relationship anymore with her grandchildren over this. And it's exactly what you're talking about. and it breaks my heart. My kids, I mean, these kids are now in their early to mid-30s.
Mm.
And they're not, my kids are just behind them in their late, you know, mid to late 20s, well, late 20s. So that's just frightening.
Wow.
And she is so heartbroken. She is just so very heartbroken.
Mm, Joy, thank you for sharing that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. This type of heartbreak is happening, but it's not being discussed publicly very often. For the sake of trying to get to all the people who are calling, we're going to try to keep moving a bit. We'll go next to Kansas to where Ruth is on the line. Ruth, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much for your program. I really do enjoy it, and I learned so much from it. I think it's terrible that they would separate themselves from their family that way. It used to be families lived together. There'd be the grandparents and the parents and the children all right there in the same house together for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my great aunt and my great uncle, they had a problem because one was a Democrat, one was a Republican. And the only problem they really had was on voting day.
Mm.
She refused to ride with him to the voting voting booth. And that's the only problem they had. So I just think it's terrible. They would totally separate themselves from their families or parents who may need them.
Mm, well said, Ruth. And it's funny, you said that, but they still live together. They didn't ride together on the voting day, but they lived together. Back to the phone lines. We go next to Ohio, where Miss D is on the line. Mrs. D is on the line. Is it Mrs. D?
It's Mrs. D.
Mrs.
Yes.
D, thank you for calling the program. Go right ahead.
I can't believe I'm talking to Abraham Hamilton. I look so forward to your program every evening at 6 o'clock. I'm in Ohio in the Eastern time zone.
Oh, thank you
anyway,
so much for that.
This is a very much needed program. And the Lord put on my heart, at the end of May, I know of 8 families, one being my own. In this case, it's a daughter-in-law, not of my natural child, my son's wife, who have a child that's estranged from them. Most of these people are Christian people that I've known through the years in different churches, and I was inspired, perhaps the Lord inspired me to write a letter to each of these and ask them to agree with me in prayer to break this stronghold of Satan.
Mm.
It's he that's the enemy, not the children. And 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world, but on the contrary, we have divine power to demolish the strongholds. So we're all agreeing together for our families that there will be a breaking down and a return to fellowship.
Mm. Well said, Mrs. D. And it's so important that we don't endeavor to try to navigate this solely in the flesh, but that we utilize the divinely powerful weapons that God has made available to us. Well said. We'll go next to Arkansas, where Aaron is on the line. Aaron, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Abraham. I appreciate your show and who you are and your integrity. I'm calling. My wife and I have 4 sons, and our 2 oldest have gone no contact.
Mm.
I want to take responsibility and say that in their youth, I did inflict emotional injury. And saw the light of my ways and have attempted repair for many years and thought that we were on the right trajectory and everything seemed to be great. And then, quite honestly, around the time of the President Trump's last victory, things really turned. And it has been poised to us that it is cultural and political misalignment, and it's really hard to grasp. And you're right, it's not spoken of because there is a lot of shame and just unknown. I'll add that some of it seems to be a financial expectation that goes along with that, like some sort of retribution. But it's a very difficult, silent subject.
Aaron, thank you for calling. We got a lot of what you said. The call was going in and out. Oh, man, we have so many people holding. I wish we could get to everybody. But one thing I hope that we all see, that this is something that is happening. And I want to remind everybody that the God that we serve is a restorer. So the first thing I want to encourage every single one of you who have called and those who are holding and those who would say I could have called, but I didn't call, is to refuse to give up on your families in prayer, but to bring it to the Lord as a matter of prayer, as a matter of first and foremost urgency. And the Lord will give wisdom and revelation as to how we ought to respond, because just as there are many of these calls, I've heard many examples to where the Lord has restored relationships, but we need to expose the enemy's work in his effort to sever families in this manner.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.